case of any dry preaching, so I'll be able to just wet the whistle. Yep, get it working a bit. Praise the Lord. God, I just thank the Lord for his protection this week. I mean, over myself, over Paula, over our children, you know what I mean? We're driving and things like that. There's been so many incidences this week that just, like, were so close, you know what I mean? I just remember one time there was, you know how you go around a roundabout and you think you've got the protection of the vehicle next to you, you go around with them. Well, there was this bus that sort of went around. I thought I was on the protection of the side of him, but this cyclist had come right up the very tail of him and squeezed through, so I hit the brakes screeching and missed the cyclist. I thank the Lord for that. And just many other incidences, you know what I mean, even this morning, just on the first part of our drive, and just various times that God has kept us each time, and God is a protection of our lives. He's a protection of those around about us. He's a good, 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 good God. wondering where to start ministering the word today, and I thought, where's better to start than in the very beginning? Amen. Genesis 1:1. Could be a very lengthy sermon. But Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So in the, I've thought of it like the big inning, like a cricket game, you know what I mean? It was a big innings, you know what I mean? It was a big inning, and it was for God when he created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created, not evolution, not anything else, but God and God alone. He is the final authority. That's what I want to share today, is on the authority of God and how he's delegated that to our lives. And I was thinking of another word for a creator, and it's a bit like author, you know what I mean? If someone authors a book. And that word authority has the word author in it. And so God is the author, his word, he's the author. He's the final authority for everything that is said and done and every operation of humanity and the whole existence of all the planets and the whole of the universe and the whole of everything that's out there. God is the supreme being. He is the ruler. He is Lord of all, King of kings. He's our Jesus. He's unchanging. He's faithful. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us, even to the end of the world. He said where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst. So he's here today with us and moving through us. In him we live and we move and we have our being. You know, we're not just like everybody else out there. There's something different. It's Jesus Christ in us that causes us to live, to move, to do, to be imparted with everything we need in life to be able to be a blessing to people, to be able to forgive, as we've heard. It's that power of Christ that's within us to do these things. We've got to live on the operate in the principles of God, because he set the whole thing up, and if we operate under his principles, it will work in our lives. We'll work the word. It will work. God will work for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, it has to change. It is subject to Jesus Christ. Everything is subject to him. When we operate in his principles, it works. And we see a lot of people that haven't operated in the principles, and therefore destruction comes, death comes. Many things have come of detrimental consequences when people don't live and abide by the word of God. Just like when we drive around in our cars, what do you put in your fuel tank? Petrol, diesel. You don't put water in there. You know what I mean? And the same with the principles of God. We must align ourselves to the word of God. It doesn't matter what we feel, what we see, what we hear. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter. God's word is always true. We need to place that as final authority in our lives. It doesn't matter what is seen, what's going on in this world. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's coming back again. He's setting up his kingdom of everlasting righteousness. He will prevail, and he'll prevail in our lives on a day-to-day basis as we surrender to him. He's the living word. In John chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. In the beginning, oh, there's that big inning again. It just seems to remind us of Genesis 1:1. God comes on the scene and he goes, light be, and light was. How did that come about, that light? It was through his word. He spoke the word, light be, and it had to obey. He's the living word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The JWs would like to put that little extra word in there, put the word was a God, but no, it doesn't say that. He was God. He was with God and he was God. You know, let us make man in our image. He is God and God alone. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So here we have the Word of God, which was from the beginning. Even before the beginning, when he created the earth, he always was. He was not a created being. Jesus Christ was the one with God who created all things. And so he was the Word there, and he's the Word now, and he always will be the Word. He's the Word, he's the Word, he's the Word. That's what the Bible says. And out of that Word comes the life of God. The Bible says the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Many people can read the Bible and be so bound by reading the Bible and get themselves into knots and bondage, and it just cripples their life, and there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no relationship, there's no fellowship, there's no life, it's dead. But we read the Word of God and we say, Jesus, you are the Word of God. You are the life. And you bring life to my soul. You bring life to my body. You bring life to my whole being. It's charged with your life. In him was the Word. He was the Word of God and is the Word of God. And out of that came life. And that life was the light of men. So that life began to course its way through from heaven and that created through into light coming into this world. Through light be, but also through light of revelation knowledge. It's the revelation knowledge of the Word of God that is sound doctrine, that is unrefutable, undisputable, that will stand the test of time, will stand science, it will stand anything that comes against it. The Word of God will prevail. It always will. It always comes up triumphant, just like love never fails. Amen. Jesus Christ in us is the love of God. It will never fail. It doesn't matter what people do to you. Got strips torn off me this week, but the love of God, you don't retaliate. It's just the love of God just burns in your heart. The Bible says that the unrighteous seek our blood, but we seek their souls. The life of God, from the Word of God, through the life of God, through the light of God. His Word is life. It's living. It's the living Word of God. I want to impress it onto you today. It's the living Word of God. When you breathe and read and drink in of the Word of God, it brings life to your soul. It's like out of your own innermost being flow rivers of living water. Drink in of his presence. Father, we drink of your presence right now. Yes. We drink in of the living Word of God. Lord, like we heard today, you bring times of refreshing. Father, refresh your people this day with an infusion of life, infusion of strength, infusion into their soul, their spirit, their joints, their marrow, all of their whole being, filled with your life and filled with your light. We thank you, Lord, the darkness cannot comprehend it. It cannot overcome it. It cannot seize it. It cannot possess it. It cannot understand it. It is the Word of God that prevails. It is the light of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand the test of eternity. Thank you, Jesus. It says that in verse 14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. Right at the very beginning, we see that it's the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning was the Word, in John 1, 2 as well. And then he was the Word there. When he became flesh, he was the Word. And then it goes on and talk in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, that when he comes back on that white horse, there's a day coming. He's coming back on a white horse because he's faithful and true, it says. What he's faithful, he's promised he will also perform. There is a day when Jesus Christ is going to split the sky and come back on that white horse, and the armies will follow him on white horses, pure and clean. That's his church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, following him on the white horses, galloping through space, coming back to the earth to set up righteousness upon the face of this planet. This planet is not destined for doom, it's destined for the glory of God for eternity. You read the back of the book and we win. It's all signed, sealed and delivered. He is faithful. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not make it? Bless you. Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Once, like we said before, it's not on your circumstances. No, God's word is true. God's word is true, always will be. When Jesus resisted Satan in the wilderness, he said, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word is the final authority. It's the final authority in God's arena. It's the final authority in our lives. We operate in the word. We operate in final authority. That's what we operate in, kingdom authority. And so he resisted the devil and said, it is written. It is written. It is written. One of the versions says in the last one that he resisted him, he said, it is said. So it's spoken. It's written. It's the word of God. It prevails. And he said, get thee hence. And so Satan had to do what? Get out of there. He couldn't hang around. Once he's told to go, he has to go. You know, you speak the word, he has to obey. It's final authority. It's above anything of any counterfeit authority that Satan comes under, that tries to usurp and to steal. God's word is the like a diamond, you have cubic zirconias, you have all sorts of fake diamonds, but you have the real thing. Why do people substitute for the counterfeit when they can have the real thing, the real gold, the real diamond, the real heavenly Jerusalem that's coming? Why is there a substitute? And the lies that Satan has put out there of deception, because he's a deceiver. But the truth is going out. It's going out as we speak to others. It's a truth, and it brings light, and the darkness can't comprehend it. Mankind is in a mess because people haven't lived by every word of God, not trusting that God's authority was the highest authority, the original and not a counterfeit authority. It's very costly and self-destructive to live under a counterfeit authority. Bible says Satan goes around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He can't come in and just devour your life. The Bible says a curse causeless shall not come on you or alight on you. There's got to be some room. Something was given place or something's gone on. But he goes around seeking whom he may devour. Well, be one of the ones that he will not devour. You know, choose to resist. Choose to, you know, push back the powers of darkness. Choose to rule in this life. We reign in life by one Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Where sin abounds, grace does much more. It's much more. It's just much more. It's just everything. So he goes around as a roaring lion. So he's not a roaring lion. And he's seeking whom he may devour. But it's not for everyone. If we don't give him place, give no place to the devil, the Bible says. And even back there, he appeared as a serpent in the Garden of Eden. He comes up with the words, has God said? See how it's questioning the authority of the word of God. It's questioning. God loves you. Satan comes along and goes, no, he doesn't really love you. Look what you did, you little scumbag, you little worm. No, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm born and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood that will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus, which he can't mess with. Don't cross the bloodline, devil. You know, the blood of Jesus. The Bible says we have access in Hebrews 10:19 into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's given us the authority, that power that we can stand before Jesus and not be consumed by God because of his righteous ways. That we can come because of the blood into the holiest. Just on a side note, Satan was kicked out of heaven. He says, I beheld Satan's lightning fall. He fell at the cross. He fell and he could not come back up because Jesus Christ took the blood and cleansed the heavenly utensils. So he's not there anymore. He's cast out. The word of God. So, you know, comes along and says, has God said there in the Garden of Eden? Has God said? Yes. Adam should have said, get out of here, you rotten thing. Even before the serpent spoke, he was with Eve in the garden. He should have said, just get out of here. You have no place in this place. This is God's land. Yes. New Zealand is God's land. Yes. Get out. We could believe, oh, you know, I mean, look at what's happening in the world. We can call, come under that mess and you listen to all the news and all the rubbish that's out there. This is the great south land of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. We choose to see it. We choose to see it with the eye of our faith. We choose to see it's turning to the Lord. We choose to see it's a blessing to the nations of the world. Final authority. You know, it's like something was missing. Has God said, you know what I mean? Has God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? God has said. It is written. God has said. Should be the final authority. That's it. God said it. That's it. It settles it. God's word is true. You know, but it was like something was missing. Well, no, if you listen to me, then I'll make you complete. No, the Bible says you are complete in him. You already are. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You are complete, purchased by the blood. You are complete in him. Don't think about your past. Take the blood, step into the now, and just remind Satan of his past. It's not too bright, nor is his future. The tomb is empty. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and he's Lord. And there's nothing Satan could have done about it. He's powerless in the place of the blood of Jesus Christ. You can get to understand good and evil. Why would you want to understand evil? You know what I mean? What sort of temptation was that to start with? I don't know. But you know what I mean? It's like, I want to understand good. I want to understand the presence of God. I want to understand walking with God in the cool of the evening. I want to just walk and talk with God. You know, I don't blame them because we've all missed it. If the Bible says that if the Lord would mark iniquities, who would stand? You know, so I don't blame Adam and Eve, but let's choose in our lives. But as for this day, me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We'll live in righteousness. We will refuse to fight the enemy on every front. Thank you, Jesus. Think about the prodigal son. You know, there's two sons there. One's the one that went away and came back, and the father had open arms running towards him as soon as he saw him. You know what I mean? And that's love. You know, it may be that someone's running away, but God's drawing them back, and then they come back and they're received with open arms. That's pure love. But don't forget also that if you're already in the body of Christ and you're not running from God, that he says, hey, we can have a feast every day of the week. We can have a party together all the time. You know, oh, what a feast. Oh, what a friendship. Oh, he comes to us and sups with us, and he comes in and we fellowship together and we have a continual feast. You know, so, you know, it's not all about the prodigal son, but that's a blessing to the prodigals that are coming back. But also remember that you've stayed the journey in God, that there's a continual feast with you and the Lord in his presence all the time. You can have fellowship, you can call and he'll answer you and he'll show you his love. He just immerse you in his love. He loves you that much, he put out his arms, died on the cross. It's his perfect love. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, he upholds all things by the power of his word. He holds everything, everything. Not some of the things of your life, everything. He upholds all. What does word all mean? All. He upholds all things by the power of his word. So we've got the earth rotating on its axis at 1,600 kilometres an hour, you know what I mean? You know, you think going in your car at 200, you know, if you've got a really fast car on the Autobahn or something like that, and you're cruising along at 200 k's an hour, I mean, you know, you think of this earth rotating at 1,600 kilometres. That's a step up. But you think that's big, because our God's even bigger than that. He sends us flying around the universe, around the sun, and we're shooting around there at 107,000 kilometres an hour. Hang on. Praise the Lord for gravity. Do you know what I mean? But he upholds, you know, if it wasn't for God, you know, this planet would not have lasted this long anyway, and it would have spun out and got hit by some meteor or whatever. He upholds this world, and he's reserved it for fire against that day. Building ark in America, thinking there's another flood coming. The Bible says he'll never flood the earth again, but he will burn it up with fire. Yes. It's reserved for what God says he's going to do with it, not what man thinks he's going to do with it. It's all in God's authority. In Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We've got to align ourselves with the word of God, not put our circumstance above the word of God. You know what I mean? Well, you know, someone died second, I don't know about that. You know what I mean? You don't know half the words that are spoken. You know what I mean? I remember a story, one minister was saying how he was talking about this husband and wife, and they're in a car accident, and the wife was all beat up and in a mess and looked like she wasn't going to live, and he saw his wife and he goes, I'm a dead man. You know who died? The man did. She didn't. Don't speak words of death. Right. Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat its fruit. You will eat the fruit of your words. That's an admonition and a warning in the word of God. You will eat the fruit of your words. What you've sown, the seed of the words in your life, you are generating those for living those today. And what you're sowing today, you'll be living the fruit of that tomorrow. Be careful what you speak. Not that's driving me crazy, or you know what I mean? All that sort of talk, you know what I mean? And how unworthy we are. No, we're not. We're righteous in through the blood of Jesus. You know, choose to speak and align with the word of God. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. How's that for size when something comes against you? Greater is he that's in me. Yes. That one's been burning in me for a few weeks too, and opposition and things come up. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Who are we that we should fear man and forget the Lord our Maker? There's another admonition. Don't fear man. Remember the Lord your Maker. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through him that loves me. Do not be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Did he say he might flee? No? No, he will. He will. That's what the word of God says. And is God true? Or is he a liar? The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. He's the liar. God's word is true. And so if you submit yourself to God, you resist the devil, he has no choice but to flee. A lot of people are, you know, trying to resist the devil first, but they haven't submitted themselves first to God. You know, they're like the sons of Sceva in the Bible. You know, let's go cast out some devils. They were the ones that fled naked and wounded and left that place. Like Paul, we know. Peter, we know. But who are you? You know, Jesus, we know. I'm sure the devil knows your name, but there's nothing he can do about it. The Bible says that Satan came to Jesus, but he couldn't find anything in him. And if you don't give him place, he can't take any place in your life. Where were we? Somewhere between Genesis 1 and Revelation. Okay. When you know your authority, you'll have confidence. And you'll be able to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says that we fight not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. You know, remember that when people are coming against you, they're not your enemy. It's the powers of darkness behind what's being spoken and what's being done. You know, look beyond the fault and see the need. Look beyond someone's life and why are they acting this way? And then take authority over the powers of darkness. You know, we don't have authority or control over other people's will. God has always given man a free choice. And we can't control others and we can't manipulate others. But we can take authority over the powers of darkness behind people's lives. You know, ultimately it's not God who sends people to hell but themselves by their own acts of rebellion. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Remember, whatever you're going through in life, you know what I mean? This is not going to prevail against me. No weapon. How many?
None.
How many? No. How many? None. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not one. Not one. That gives you strength in time when things are adverse, doesn't it? No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. What can separate me from God's love? Nothing. Wrapped up in his arms of love. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow or the defense of the Almighty. Will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. See how it says, I will say? There's a word that is spoken. There's power in your words. They're words of life that we're speaking. God has all authority. He's entrusted or delegated or gifted it to us. It's not for us to sell. It's not for us to gamble off. It's not like selling your birthright off. He's given you authority. Use it wisely. Not to control people, but to take authority in the spirit realm, to take authority in your own life, to bring discipline in your own life so that you can be a blessing to others. In Matthew chapter 8, it talks about the centurion. And it talks about that Jesus marveled at him. He goes, wow. I mean, how do you like Jesus to marvel at you? You know what I mean? Yeah, well, the Bible says now faith, without faith it's impossible to please God. So we need to put faith into operation in our life. And he's pleased with that. And he was pleased with the centurion when the centurion said, well, I'm under authority, but I have authority. We're under God's authority, but he's delegated and gifted us authority to go in his name. To go and cast out devils, to speak with new tongues, to take up serpents, to drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt us. It doesn't matter what you feel, it doesn't matter what your brain is screaming out. God's word is still true whether you want to believe it or not. And so he marveled at him. He said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Well, speak the word only in your life. Don't speak a bunch of garbage. The Bible says that every idle word that we speak, we will give account on the day of judgment. Don't speak idle words. Choose your words wisely. speak. The Bible says he that has knowledge spares his words. So think about what you're going to say before you fly off the handle or before you speak words of death. The Bible says to speak words of life that it may edify the believers and edify one another. We always charge up and believe the best of every person and sow the love of God and speak the love of God to people. The Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you will and it shall be done. You know, sometimes we think, oh, well, just God's got all the authority. No, he's delegated it to us. And he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. In other words, you won't be out there asking for 5 wives or 10 husbands or, you know, 8 Cadillacs parked up or whatever you want, you know, Porsches or, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you abide in God and your heart is his heart and he that's joined the Lord is one spirit, and then you'll begin to speak with his authority that he's given you, just like we are ambassadors for Christ. We speak on his behalf in the world. We speak, and whatever you ask will be done. Yes. Bible says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. How much? All. I give you, not just your neighbor, I give you individually. Put your name in there. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That actually is saying, I give you authority over all the ability of the enemy. You still there? Or you're right? You're right? Okay. We're getting fairly close. I think 5 minutes will be done. Okay, we'll bring the plane in for a landing shortly.
Go around once more.
Yeah.
Don't want to land, mate.
Jesus is the lamb and the lion. You know, when we look in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says, oh, let's go see the lion. And he went in there and there was the lamb. You know what I mean? It's that humble heart. You know, when we think of the lamb and the lion, he's portrayed as both. Lamb, he was sacrificial, giving, loving. We see the contrast, and yet they dovetail together, and they're actually one. Lion and lamb seem like such different spheres, but you put it all together and we have, you know, love and we have power. We have loving righteousness and we have hating iniquity. See how we've got the lion, the lamb and the lion? The lamb is loving, is loving righteousness. We've got the lion, we've got the power, we've got the hating of evil. We've got loving people, we've got hating darkness. You know, we have to have a righteous indignation in us. The Bible says that Jesus was so happy, and you know why he was so happy, the Bible says in Hebrews there? It says, because he loved righteousness and he hated iniquity. And we need to be that same way in our lives. I've seen the pendulum swing so much over the years since being a little child, you know what I mean? First of all, it was no TV and you can't watch TV, and there were so many ground rules for everything. It was so constricting. And yet, through the years that I've just been alive, the pendulum has swung so far over this way, you know what I mean, that people are just watching whatever they want, filling themselves with garbage, the music they listen to, and you know, they've just let it slide too far. You know what I mean? Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you hear. What are you putting into your life? They're the seeds that will be born forth. You know, that's the principles of the kingdom of God, is seed time and harvest. What are you sowing into your life, whether it's through your eyes, whether it's through your ears, whatever it's through, whatever vessel or instrument of your body that it's coming through, you're sowing. He that sows to the flesh will reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit will reap life everlasting. What are we investing into our lives? What seed are we sowing in our lives? What thoughts are we processing through our heads? Are we murmuring? Are we muttering? Are we complaining? What's going on and on and on? Some things just go over and over and over in your head. Well, break that record and set yourself free through the Word of God. The Bible says they will know my truth and the truth will set them free. They continue in it. You know, so you set new mindsets, God's Word, as final authority in your life. Adam and Eve should have ruled and resisted. We're now in that position where we need to choose to rule and to reign and to take authority. So you have Adam there in the beginning, needs to operate without authority. We have us right now that needs to operate in that authority. And we also have, when it talks in the book of Revelation, it says that we will have power over the nations. It says that we shall judge angels. And so we need to start working on things in our life now. We're preparing for a millennium. We're preparing for 1,000 years that is to come, where we're going to rule and reign with Christ. We need to rule and reign in our lives now. It's good practice ground for when we rule and reign with Him. Set things in motion. Set your mind thoughts in alignment. Just bring everything into alignment with the Word of God. So Jesus is the Word. He was the Word in the beginning. He was the Word when He was made flesh. He's the Word in our hearts today, that we're speaking words of life. The Bible says, you know, choose life. You know, choose life that you and your seed may live. Choose words of life. And then he will always be the Word of God, because He's coming back on that white horse as the Word of God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word today. We thank You, Lord, that you've nourished us up in the words of faith and sound doctrine. We thank You, Lord God, that we let Your words of life rule our spirit. You said, he that does not rule his spirit is like a city that's broken down without walls. But Lord, we choose to rule our spirit by aligning ourselves to Your word, Lord God, to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Father, right now, I just ask You, Lord God, that You would touch each person here by Your spirit. Just if you need healing in your body right now, just put your hand on your head and say, Jesus, your word is health to my flesh. I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Father, I just thank You, Lord, for enriching every person here today. I thank You for encouraging them in Your love, that You are the God of all hope. It doesn't matter what the circumstances. Lord God, You are their hope. Father, Your very presence, Lord, not just abides in them for this meeting, Lord God, but as they go and walk out that door and wherever they go, Father, that Your presence, Lord, would be strong about them. Father, we release Your power, Lord God, to flow through each one of our lives. Lord, we covet earnestly the best gifts. Lord, as we're walking down the street, we pray for words of knowledge. Lord, discerning of spirits, Lord, miracles and faith and healings, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, let us go in the power of Your Spirit, Father, to believe Your word and not to believe anything else. Lord, the people will come by and they say something different about You. What must I do to be saved? Father, we pray for the increase, the thermostat turned up in our spirits and our lives. Father, that all men will be drawn to You, Father, by drawing them by Your Holy Spirit. Lord, You said go and bear fruit, good fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. So, Lord, cause us to be fruitful in our lives, Lord Jesus. Let us not live in the past of not seeing much, Father, but, Lord, believing right now for the much in our lives, for Your glory and for the extension of Your kingdom. Burn Your word in our hearts today. Seal it by Your Holy Spirit. Bring it forth with understanding, we ask, Lord God. Thank You for the authority that You've delegated to us, Lord, to speak in Your name. That we are Your vessels, holy vessels, sanctified, ready for the Master's use. Thank You, Lord. Father, just for Your love, wrapping each person up in Your arms of love. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. So wrap them up in Your arms, Father. Keep them secure. Just like You said, You uphold all things by the power of Your word. You uphold them. You uphold their families. We speak salvation and deliverance into their families. We command the chains of darkness and the darkness of the scales over their eyes to be gone in Jesus' name. Loose them in Jesus' name. Scales, come off their eyes right now. We release the souls of these family members represented here today. We release them into the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. We release light to shine and the darkness cannot comprehend it. Light, 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 light. We release it into their hearts in Jesus' name. Fruitfulness. Lord, You said, doubtless we'll come again bringing our sheaves with us. Lord, we may have cried the tears of intercession, but Lord, joy comes in the morning. I thank You, Lord, for fruitfulness over every prayer that has been prayed in this place, Father, as they've cried out to You. Touch their lives, Lord God, with a manifested presence of heaven. Lord, that there's just not this dryness, but Lord, a refreshing in the Spirit, a manifestation of Your glory. Lord, we choose to believe, we choose to expect, we choose to see your power. We'd fainted unless we had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We choose to see your glory in our families. We choose to see righteousness exalted. We choose to see righteousness exalted in this nation. Lord, minister by your power right now into the media. Lord God, you're strong and mighty. You're the Lord of hosts. We ask you to intervene right now in Jesus' name. Right now into the education systems. Right now into the schools. Right now into the workplaces, into the supermarkets. We release your glory. We release the flood tide of your spirit. We will reap in due season if we faint not. Father, thank you for your word this day. Being alive in our hearts and our spirits, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for your love and patience, everyone, and for just drinking in. And just let God just saturate you. Just let him just move and brood over your spirit. Just to sense his love. Unfailing love. Unfailing love. The power of the love of God. No condemnation. Free in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, your presence, your strength, your joy, your peace. Lord, let your fire, your word burn in his spirits, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Never the same again. Your eternal work accomplished. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Look at that, you're out before midday.